This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else. Attention, 97.3 The Fan listeners. If you're drowsy, sluggish, or feeling fatigued, you're about to get your afternoon boost with Tony Quinn Jr.
I just have a lot of questions about shared dude wipes. I feel like it should be a personal stash.
Chris Ello.
When you guys mentioned the fact that there were dude wipes in there, my first reaction to it was, really? You use something moist down there?
And Matt Scraby.
Bah! The Rams, baby! The Rams!
Don't blame us for any side effects.
You thrilled our fans throughout the postseason with a great performance.
Gwen and Chris are ready to go.
Kicking off hour number two of our first Peoria spring broadcast here on Gwen and Chris. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. in and out today, broadcasting a ball game and doing player interviews with us. Matt Scraby's alongside here on the patio at the Padres spring training complex in Peoria, Arizona. We're just a few feet away, as Scraby likes to say, from where I cried.
Yeah, right there.
A couple of years ago,
actually,
right over there.
I can remember it like it was yesterday. I remember standing up, and there was a tear in your eye, and then you wanted to go do it, I made you do it in front of this spring training.
You did an Instagram Live, I think.
I did,
something
and
like
then I got in big trouble with the people because they were mad that I was making fun of you for crying.
Yes, I was.
They were very upset with me.
Well, they should have been. It was tears of joy. It was 2 years ago when the Aztecs beat Alabama, and we watched the game, Scraby and I, right here on his laptop.
We did.
And then we didn't get to come to Peoria last year because the Padres were playing in Korea at the time against the Dodgers in that opening series. So it's great to be back in Peoria. Hope you enjoyed our visit with Jason Hayward. We've got Jackson Merrill coming up in this hour. Also soon to join us from the Aztec women's basketball team. Scraby is a four-time academic all-conference player at San Diego State. She's pretty smart.
Okay.
I hope we can keep up with Callie Clark of the Aztec women's team here shortly. But we've got some games to run down over the weekend and coming up. So let's get into today's Daily Gambit.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. Keep in mind, we are on YouTube. If you would like to watch us, you can. Just search 97.3 The Fan in YouTube. And we also have videos from the player interviews that we've done throughout the day. My friend just texted me in the break, Chris, and said he's watching us on video. And he said, did you die? Because the background makes you look like you're coming to me from heaven. And
you?
Yes, because all that's behind me is just one big light. Like I'm some sort of angel or something coming down from the heavens. No,
yeah, well,
I did not die.
Tell your friend you are far from being an angel.
They already know that, Chris. They already know that.
All right, we're having a good day out here in Peoria, and lots of interviews still ahead with the Padres players. A little different Daily Gambit today. We didn't really bet over the weekend, and there's really not a lot tonight. I mean, tonight is the calm before the storm. The March Madness all starts tomorrow. So thought we'd take a minute, give you the schedule for the men's and women's basketball teams at San Diego State and at UCSD as they get ready for March Madness. And the first team up is going to be the Aztec men. They actually play tomorrow. And I don't know if you heard this story, Scraby, but yesterday when CBS Television announced the Aztecs in the tournament playing North Carolina in a play-in game, CBS announced the game as being on Wednesday. And so the Aztecs scrambled immediately to get flights on Tuesday, tomorrow, to Dayton.
Oh.
So they worked on all of the flights and the whole thing to leave on Tuesday for a game on Wednesday.
Okay.
And then 45 minutes into the show, CBS corrected itself and said, oh, no, the Aztecs-North Carolina game will be played on Tuesday. The Aztecs had to rearrange everything to leave today, so they're on their way to Dayton today. I can't believe that CBS would mess up something that, you know, important.
I mean, where's the NCAA telling the Aztecs where the heck they're going and what day?
Yeah, didn't somebody call them officially and say, hey, you guys play on Tuesday? I mean, they didn't know where they were going apparently, or what time their game was for 45 minutes. They finally found out the real story. Now, so they do play tomorrow. It's at 6:10 p.m. at North. I know you're going to laugh. North Carolina is a 4.5-point favorite. But because the game is at 6:10 p.m., that means your show or your mind show will be over tomorrow from Peoria. And that means I will be driving back to San Diego during the Aztecs basketball game. But fear not, I am already DVRing the game. As soon as I arrive back home, I will set things up, get comfortable,
wait,
and watch the game.
You do know we're going to get home at like midnight, right?
Exactly. I don't care what time we get home. I'm going to watch the game first thing when I get home.
What happens when you turn on the radio for 1 second and it says,
I won't.
Aztecs win.
I won't.
Or Aztecs.
I will do nothing but listen to music on my phone the entire way from Peoria back to San Diego.
Ugh.
I will not, though, but I will not look at my phone in case somebody such as yourself decides to text me the final score, which is something I think you might try to do just to mess me up. So I will not. That will not happen because I won't even look at my phone. So don't bother.
I'm going to have to see what kind of car you're driving so that I can hold up a sign as I'm driving by you. Aztecs lead.
Aztecs are winning, Chris. All right, that's tomorrow. Aztecs at 6:10 p.m. against mighty North Carolina. By the way, I haven't seen anybody who's picked the Aztecs to win. Jay Billis, North Carolina. Everybody out. It's funny. All of the official, you know, big college basketball prognosticators, they're all saying two things. North Carolina should not be in the tournament. They don't deserve it.
Duh.
Followed by, I'll take North Carolina over San Diego State. They're all picking North Carolina to win. So, you know, figure that out.
I hate the brand name thing.
It is. It's a brand name thing. I mean, and look, they're still good. I mean, you and I watched them the other night against Duke.
They almost beat Duke.
They almost beat Duke.
Without Cooper Flagg.
Without Cooper Flagg, but they still almost beat him. The guy steps on the free throw.
Yeah, lane violation.
So, I mean, North Carolina, we know they're good. And the Aztecs are going to have to play one of their good games, which they haven't done in a while, frankly. They have not been playing great, the Aztecs.
No.
Tomorrow would be a hell of a time to get it all turned around.
You know, I'm confident in the Aztecs, but I'm also a little nervous.
Yeah, it's a little of both, for sure.
I not that I'm a Debbie Downer.
Yeah.
I didn't think they were going to make the tournament, so I just kind of prepared for that.
I was, you know, watching the Boise State-Colorado State game on Saturday. I honestly thought Boise State had to win and eliminate Colorado State from consideration. But, of course, Colorado State won big.
Yeah.
And actually, and eliminated Boise State.
Yep.
So it worked out.
That is crazy.
For the Aztecs. Wednesday, it'll be the UCSD women's team. They are in the first play-in round. They're taking on Southern University. That's at 6:10. Congratulations to Heidi Vanderveer. The men's team at UCSD is getting all the attention because they're the first, their first year they're in. Well, it's the same for the women.
Yep.
It's their first year in Division I where they could qualify as a fourth-place team. And they will play Southern. And the UCSD women are the only team that's favored this week. They're favored by 2.5 points in their first game. If they win, they would then go on to play number one seed UCLA.
Ooh.
In the
that would be a tough
official
one.
First round.
That would be a tough one.
That'll be tough. But still, congrats to UCSD's women. Now, the UCSD men, they play Thursday. And they're going to take on Michigan at 7 o'clock. Michigan is a slight favorite there by 2.5 points. But as a 12 seed, a lot of people think UCSD is going to win this game. As a matter of fact, Seth Davis, who was on the panel yesterday at CBS, you know, the people that told us the wrong time and day for the Aztec game.
Yeah.
Seth Davis predicted that UCSD will not only win this game over Michigan, but that UCSD is good enough to go to the Sweet 16.
Hey, I'll take the
a lot of people like
love.
Them. A lot of people like the Tritons. We know they've won 15 in a row. They don't turn the ball over ever. They have four or five guys that can score in double figures. They're tough to handle. They're playing Michigan that won the Big Ten tournament. And the funny, you know who's the coach of Michigan now? The same guy that was the coach of Florida Atlantic a couple of years ago.
Oh, wow.
Dusty May.
Okay.
He coached Florida Atlantic into the Final Four against the Aztecs. Now he's the coach at Michigan. So good luck to UCSD on Thursday. Friday, we're going to be back to the Aztec men because we're hoping that they're going to win tomorrow night over North Carolina. Now, this is interesting because it doesn't usually work like this. The Aztecs' first game is on Tuesday. If they win, their first round game is not till Friday. Usually it's Thursday. But they're going to get an extra day to prepare. They'll be in Milwaukee if they win against Ole Miss in the first round on Friday. That'll be 1:05 in the afternoon Friday for the Aztec men if they beat North Carolina. Mark Ziegler brought up an interesting point. The first four is San Diego State against North Carolina. The other game is Xavier against Texas. But that game's Wednesday.
Okay.
But Xavier's in Ohio. It's close to Dayton.
Okay.
Texas is in the same time zone, et cetera. Very close.
Yeah.
Why is that game on Wednesday? That one should be Tuesday. The Aztecs should get till Wednesday because they're crossing four time zones to go play that game.
Four?
Well, Pacific to Mountain to Central to East.
Well, Mountain and Central are the same now.
They're not the same.
Yes, they're 2 hours. They are the same.
All right, I'm going to pull my...
How is the Mountain and the Central... They're both 2 hours ahead.
No, they're not. The Mountain's 1 hour ahead. The Central's 2 hours ahead. The East is 3 hours ahead.
Oh, you are right. This is a. Oh, man.
I'm speaking to you people in the YouTube chat. Do you see what I deal with?
That was bad.
Do you see what I deal with?
That was bad.
Yeah. But the Aztecs are going to play tomorrow. Have no fear. They'll be ready for North Carolina. And then the last of the first round, et cetera, games will be Saturday night at 7 p.m. when the Aztec women take on LSU. The neat thing for the women is that the game is on ESPN, straight up. Number one network, ESPN. So they're going to get a lot of great exposure. The odds makers, honestly, are giving them no chance, which I kind of like because I think they're going to use this and say, hey, this is us against the world. It really is. LSU's favored by 24.5 points over the Aztec women. I don't think that's necessarily fair to an Aztec women's team that has won 8 in a row, won 25 games this year, and won such a thrilling Mountain West tournament. They deserve a little more love than that. But
I mean, the Mountain West is just disrespected by everyone in women's basketball.
Totally disrespected in women's basketball.
I think UNLV would probably be down the same.
Yeah, UNLV would be a 30-point underdog against LSU. So, all right, there's the schedule of all the games and the March Madness.
We'll go back 5 minutes and take back my time zone conversation?
Sure. See if you can't straighten that out to everybody.
Because I'm realizing the error in my way.
The Mountain time zone and the Central time zone are the same, according to Nostradamus or Galileo over here, who's putting together his own universe.
Well, because up until like last week, Arizona was an hour ahead of us.
I understand that, but not the whole Mountain time zones, Mr. Scraby. All right, we'll talk some more March Madness. Callie Clark, you're going to enjoy meeting her from the Aztec women's team coming up next after traffic. Hi, welcome back to Gwen and Chris. Chris Ello, Mr. Scraby, hanging out here in Peoria, Padres spring training. But it is an exciting week for basketball fans, indeed, in San Diego, with everyone making the March Madness tournament, including the kids on the San Diego State women's basketball team. And we're really happy to be joined right now by the well, look, without this young lady, there would be no interview right now about a March Madness game because she played an incredible game in the championship last week. Callie Clark from the San Diego State basketball team. Thank you for being with us, Callie. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you? I'm excited to be here, and I'm excited that we could have this phone call in the first place. So,
yeah,
I'm doing great.
I know. I didn't know how to say this. We wouldn't have this call without her, but that goes two ways.
Yeah.
A, she's got to be here. Two,
yeah,
she had to play as well as she did
yeah.
in that victory over Wyoming last week, and you guys beat UNLV, and there was a lot of tears of joy afterwards, deservedly so. You put so much effort into it all, Callie. But now, you know, the job is at hand. You got LSU in your first-round game. How do you guys shift now from celebration to preparation?
I think we're all still really on the high of basketball and playing good together. So, yes, we're taking a second to celebrate the Mountain West tournament, but, I mean, we have a lot of work to do ahead of us. We have a couple days before we go off to Louisiana, and I think we're all really excited to play someone like Louisiana. I think there's a lot of attention and energy behind LSU and their program, so just to be able to go down there and play it at such a historic place, I think we're all really excited and just waiting to get down there.
Talking to Callie Clark, the Aztecs women's basketball team here on 97.3 The Fan, and Allison Fertig was the Mountain West Player of the Year. And you did a fantastic job against her last week in the championship game. When you have someone like that, the Player of the Year, what was your game plan going into that game?
You know, we knew she was going to be a good opponent, and we knew she was going to be tough. She's been tough all year. I've been playing her since she was a freshman. So kind of just locking into the game plan and knowing that if I can do my job the best that I can do it and limit her points and limit what she can do for the team, then our team will have a better chance of getting where we got to go. So going into that game, I was kind of like, oh, my goal personally was to keep her under her averages for the whole year, and I think I was able to do that, which I think led to our success inevitably, but that was kind of my mindset.
Callie Clark, here's what she did in this game, because she's not going to spout off all of her statistics, but she played 49 minutes, first of all.
Wow.
All right? She held Fertig under her scoring and rebounding average. She also had 17 rebounds, 6 steals, and 3 block shots. Now, the only center I can ever think of with 6 steals might be somebody like Nikola Jokic. I mean, that is some stat line, Callie. And here's the other thing. Fertig committed 8 turnovers and made only 6 baskets. That's because of the job that this young lady did. So it was really great to see. You came here from Colorado State after 4 years there. I've talked to you, your parents, you all said kind of, I wish we had come to San Diego maybe in the first place. But it's better, in a lot of ways, it's better late than never. I mean, you've really ended up on a high for your career.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, talk a little bit about finally getting to San Diego and how it's worked out for you.
Yeah, I mean, I thought my 4 years kind of at Colorado State, they taught me a lot about myself and a lot about life. And I think being able to come here and have those lessons kind of already learned really set me up for success, because I knew what I was looking for. I knew what I wanted in a program when I was transferring, and obviously being at Colorado State, I was able to see that from an outside perspective. And then some of the girls last year at San Diego State kind of told their story about coming to this school and having a really great experience with, like, the different type of basketball structure that they had here. And so that was really desirable for me. So when I made my decision to come here and make this choice, I was really excited. And in what San Diego had to offer. And I couldn't have gotten any better for me. I mean, I've had a great season, yeah. And I've really gotten to kind of grow into that player that I thought I could always be. And obviously the San Diego State coaches knew that, or they wouldn't have wanted me. So to be able to end the year on, not even end the year, we're not done yet, but to end the Mountain West season, I guess, in such a high fashion really speaks volumes to, like, what I could have done and the potential that they saw in me and what we were able to do as a team.
We're talking to Callie Clark here, Aztecs women's basketball team. They're headed to Louisiana to play LSU on Friday. Chris told me something. I'm always looking for kind of the outside-the-box type of question. Mm-hmm. And Chris told me that you are ambidextrous, and that when you shoot a free throw, he said you shoot right-handed. But when you do a layup or something close to the basket, you use your left hand. My question is, what's it like to have a superpower like that?
Yeah.
I think it's really cool, to be honest. I mess around with people a lot with it, because they're like, oh, I thought you were left-handed. Oh, I thought you were right-handed. And I'm like, no, I'm kind of bold. So I don't know. It's really helpful in basketball and honestly in a lot of facets in life to be able to, like, use both hands just as good as the other. So, no, yeah, I'll sometimes, and I've gotten a couple of my teammates in the past, I'll just randomly go from shooting a right-handed free throw to a left-handed free throw, and they'll have no idea.
Which like, hand are you better with?
My right.
Okay. All right.
Well, yeah. Hopefully LSU won't figure it out until it's too late on yeah. Saturday night. Callie, one last thing for me, and I've said this to you can say this about all the kids on your team, all academic, and you're about to be there for the fifth time in your career, all Mountain West academic, got a degree in mechanical engineering, working to master's. The basketball has just been part of your journey. Talk a little bit about, you know, what your plans are, you know, as you go along. I mean, this is one stop in your life, but you guys are preparing for the future as well.
Yeah. Well, my plans, I think, after college right now, I've still got to do a little bit of school. So I think I'm planning to take my PE exam, which is just certified professional engineering exam. I'll be doing that, but also I think next year I want to try and go and play overseas a little bit. Good. And use my athletic ability while my body's still letting me. So potentially doing that and then sometime coming back over. But for the near future, I think that's the goal.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, man. The Aztecs lucked out getting Callie Clark because I'm not kidding. They wouldn't be here, and they know they wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the season she had. And we wish you guys the best of luck. I look forward to seeing you this weekend in Louisiana. And I know your coach says you're going to shock everybody. And I know you guys believe you're going to shock everybody. So let's do it, and let's have some fun. Thanks for being on the show, Callie.
Thanks for having me. I hope you guys have a fantastic rest of your day.
Thank you. You too.
Absolutely will do. There she goes, Callie Clark from the Aztec women's basketball team. 12 points, 17 rebounds, 6 steals, 3 block shots.
Yeah.
That's an okay game. Yeah. I mean,
and she had a huge block shot at the end of the game.
She did.
Huge.
Huge to protect the lead. She was really good in that game. And, you know, look, she's going to be playing against LSU. And LSU center is a finalist for the Naismith Trophy, best player in college basketball.
Ooh.
Anisha Morrow is her name. And Callie Clark's going to accept the challenge. I know that.
Yeah, so. See, that's the thing. I was talking to Tony earlier. I was like, as an athlete, when you go in and play a team like LSU, like, do you go in thinking you're going to win? And he said, absolutely. But for someone like me who's never had good enough athletic ability to take on someone like that, I mean, that would be a really fun challenge to know that you're going to get to go up against one of the best basketball players in the country.
She's going to. And, you know, I think the success she had against Furtick is going to give her a lot of confidence. But this young lady, Morrow, for LSU is, oh, my God, incredible. So,
well, you know what? The coaching staff, they got plans.
They will have plans. This Aztec staff and team have been great all year long. All right, thanks to Callie Clark. That was fun. And we'll come back. We got more. In fact, we've got Jackson Merrill, the reigning National League Rookie of the Year.
we did tell him that we thought that, so.
Well, of course we did. Everybody thinks that. He's coming up after we take a quick break on Gwynn and Chris. All right, welcome back to Gwynn and Chris. Chrisello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby, back patio, Padres spring training, Peoria, Arizona. Jackson Merrill, our interview with the Padres star young center fielder, coming up in just a moment. A couple of quick notes before we get to that. Firstly, I filled out my bracket today.
Okay.
And I used to be one of those hem and haw, break all this down, break all that down, read everything, don't fill out my bracket till Wednesday morning type of guy. That never did me any good, right? It's a waste of time. So I just thought, you know what, I'm just going to go right through it. And filled out my men's bracket today, and I have entered into the Gwynn and Chris Scrabinator bracket challenge, and I recommend that all of you listening do as well. We are going for, you know, see who can pick the games the best, pick the NCAA tournament the best. At stake, bragging rights over everybody in Southern California, basically.
Yeah, right, yes, everybody.
How, again, do they sign up? Or just real quick, let everybody know what to do. So if they want to sign up and put their bracket picks in there.
Yes, you can go to 973thefansd.com. It's going to have, there's a blog post. If you scroll down, you'll see, join the 973 The Fan Brackets Challenge.
Okay.
It's at the bottom of the page. I'm going to see if I can move that up. I'm also going to put it on Facebook and Twitter as soon as we get into this Jackson Merrill interview. You have to sign up on the page, and then this is what's confusing people, and I don't disagree that it's slightly confusing. When you enter your information into the form that's on our 97.3 page, it's going to give you the link once you click submit. So don't leave that page. The join link is going to show up after you sign the form.
I almost understood that.
I know you're not going to understand that. I think I made it pretty general.
Do you think everybody else will understand that?
I really hope so. I'm getting a lot of emails, and so
I'm
trying to make this as easy as possible.
Understood. All right. Do your best. Try to get signed up. If not, you know, send Scraby a note and ask him questions.
Don't.
He really
please
won't
don't.
Mind. He really likes hearing from all of you guys out there. All right. So sign up for the Bracket Challenge. Also, we will not have Chris versus the Fans today. We've got so many interviews, so little time to get everything in. So we're going to a day off for Chris versus the Fans. And one last thing, 5:30. As is always the case here recently, we will announce our biggest fan. So stick around for all of that still to come on the program. Later on, Gavin Sheets will join us. Later on, Ruben Niebla will join us. Later on, Jake Cronenworth will join us. But right now, after we check some traffic.
Sorry, I was trying to get your attention.
What is it?
If you love Mediterranean food, Chris.
Oh, okay, I do.
You love
I do.
Spiros.
It's funny you mentioned that. I do love it.
Mediterranean.
Yeah.
You can go to Coronado or La Jolla, get some delicious food from them. So make sure that you're always filling up on your Spiros when you are headed out to eat.
SpirosCuisine.com will give you all the information. All right. Traffic and then Jackson Merrill. No more wait.
Jackson Merrill joins us. Second finish in Rookie of the Year. I know many people in San Diego were quite perturbed about that.
Jackson, everybody in San Diego, Tony. Don't say many. Come on.
Jackson, how's your spring going, man?
It's going good. It's going good. It's a lot more chill than last year and previous years, but I kind of get it. I'm ready for 162 and just to get ready for a long season, a longer season than the last one.
How has that been for you? You're used to coming in here and just being like, you know, nose to the ground, work. This year, though, I'm sure you've kind of had to kind of temper that a little bit. Has that been an adjustment for you?
Yeah, I feel like my work outside of the games has always been the same. Like, I'm still working hard, still getting my stuff in. It's just the games are a little bit slower now, you know. It's kind of out of my control, though, so kind of only worrying about things I can control. That's what helps me get through the days.
Jackson, how did you handle your success last year? I mean, that could be something that's kind of a learned thing, right? I mean, to be at the big league level and have things go the way they did, did you have people trying to keep you a little calm and cool and collected, or how did that work for you?
I think it was kind of just myself, more of focusing on a main goal. You know, my main goal is to come together with my friends at the end of the game and hug in center field and jog in and high five everybody. You know, we want to win the ball game and kind of
AKA
celebrate that.
Winning. Yes,
yeah. You know, that's the main goal. So staying calm and not really thinking about too much. I think when you hit a homer or something, it can get to your head and you can feel like you're the best hitter on earth, and that's not a bad thing, but at the same time, know that you're the best hitter on earth and you're doing it for your team, not for yourself.
How do you do that, though? I mean, listen.
No kidding.
All of that is
you're
very
not old
well,
enough to know all that, Jackson.
Very, very well said, right?
Yeah.
But when you're having the kind of success that you're having during your rookie season, I imagine that's not as easy as it just sounded coming out of your mouth. And so fast forward to year number two now, how do you go about the work without trying to add too much, right? Because I think that's the mistake a lot of us have made second year after having a good first season, is that I want to do more. Mm-hmm. And that ends up kind of being a roadblock. How have you approached year two?
Yeah, I mean, I've been kind of chill in my work. You know, I've been leading up to a season that I know is going to be long. Last year in spring training, it was go, 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 go. Like, get all in. You got to make it. And now that it's like I kind of have a little bit more comfortability, you know. In my mind, it's not like that. Like, I want to make the team still. But I know in longer terms, I do have some more comfortability. You know, I'm going to be out there every single day in center field. But for me, it's just like, why build on something that was so good when you can just subtly make it better by just playing harder? You know, like, for me, it was like grinding out more ABs that I needed to grind out, not swinging as much. I like how much I swing, don't get me wrong. I'm a hitter, you know. Right. I'm not a walker, I'm a hitter. But at the same time, you know, taking some walks that could help us individually and then steal a bag, you know, could be better than just rolling one over and putting a bat on a ball. So, you know, I don't think there's too many areas where I should really hone it in and really get so much better. I'd rather just, like, continue to grow in my game and let it all flow together, you know. But staying more humble with how I was playing last year is helpful from Manny and Toddy. You know, I got guys that are doing it for the last 10 years, one. But then also, like, Manny had more home runs than me. He had probably more doubles than me. Like, he was raking, too. So it helps when there's people around you doing the same thing. It makes you want to play up to their level as well.
Jackson Merrill is with us, and God, I'm like saying that to myself. I'm excited to have you on, the first time that you've been on our show. And from shortstop to left field and now to center field, off season, look back on your first year in center field. What did you see that you like? What do you see that you want to work on in center field? Did you look at, like, video of some of the greats, like, you know, Willie Mays, Tony Gwynn Jr., those kinds of people?
I mean,
you should have seen the look he just gave you.
No, for me, it's just, you know, go be an athlete out there. Okay. Outfield is a whole different world than infield. Infield, yeah, your work, you super honed in on how you can feel the ground ball and the way you're going to read it. But the outfield is just, like, get out there and get your eyes right. Go catch it. You know, if it's in the air, you should catch it. Adam Jones told me all the time, just, you see it up. It's the only thing he would say. You see it up in the air, you should be able to get it. So just working on my jumps, you know, working on my agility, making sure I'm still able to go side to side as fast as possible. That was pretty big for me this offseason.
You're still one of the guys that checks in on some of the younger dudes behind you. I think that's really cool because, A, you know, typically you get to the big leagues at your age, you're so locked in on trying to make sure you're good and you're right that you don't always have time to do that. But you make time to check on Leo. You make time to check on Ethan and those guys down there.
Yeah.
What is that about? Why is that important to you?
Well, it's like a machine, you know. The organization's more of a machine than anything else. You know, you got levels to it, different levels that help each other. You got certain guys in certain roles that help each other in different ways, you know. I got guys down in the minor leagues that are, you know, they might not get as much playing time as other people, but they're there in the clubhouse. They're boosting that energy up. I have a walking example, one of my best friends, you know, comes to the clubhouse in low A my year and completely just boosts us. We win a championship, you know, and it might not have been him on the field, but off the field there's people doing special things. So just taking care of guys that maybe help you in other ways than you actually notice, I think that's super important. And this org isn't just one person, you know. It's not just one team either. You've got people in the minors that are grinding down there. Like, they're working their ass off every single day. So being appreciative of them, the time that I get to watch them play at the end of these spring training games, you know, I'm appreciative of that because they go a whole year sometimes, you don't see people. So, you know, just take it all in. Baseball is so fun. It's so fun to watch different people play all the time.
Life is not that difficult. Just ask this guy.
Right.
My goodness.
This is the right mindset.
He's
right?
Got it. Hey, Jackson, in the batting order, batting ninth, I think, eighth at the beginning, staying there despite a lot of your success, they just didn't want to put any extra pressure on you, or so was, that's what was said. By the playoffs, you're, you know, more in the middle of the order. This year, I think you're going to be more in the middle of the order. Will that change your approach, or how do you keep that from not changing your approach?
No, you just got to do the same work every day. It's all your work, you know. Okay. Everything you do before the game is kind of how you're going to, like, turn out that day. You might have a round in the cage, don't get me wrong. Excuse my language, but
that's okay.
You might not hit as well in the cage and then go rake in the game. But if you're in the cage trying to do your work, you know, that's going to prepare you. If you're changing it up every day and you're trying to do something different, that's what's going to kind of change your swing, change your mentality at the plate. But for me, it's always line drives up the middle to the left side of the field. So if that's what I want to do, that's what I'm going to do. Obviously, certain situations, runners on third, no outs, get a fly ball in the air, you know, trying to do something like that. But in reality, just keep hitting line drives. Everything will fall into place.
The idea of you moving up in the lineup like that, it hasn't really changed much. I mean, as Chris said, you hit eighth, you hit fifth, you've hit third all spring. I mean, I know Skipper's going to say he's not committing to anything yet, but every single lineup that you've been in that spot. So assuming that is the spot you hit, is there some excitement to hit have a guy like Toddy in front and have a guy like Manny be sandwiched between those two guys?
Yeah, I think it's also just exciting. You know, I hit second pretty much my whole minor league career. I hit leadoff for a while, but mainly second. And, like, knowing you're getting up in that first inning, it's a different mindset. I think when you're, like, hitting ninth in the order, it was like, I want to get up, but, like, that's not on me. It's on these guys to do that. But now knowing that I'm in that spot, you know, I'm getting up. I want the guy in the nine hole to get up in that same inning. So grinding that first AB, making the pitcher throw some pitches, you know, that's what I really need to start doing more and expanding. But for me, it's just, you know, it's fun. I'm fortunate to be in that three hole right now, and I don't want to get out of it. So
you mentioned that twice now, seeing more pitches, grinding more at bats. How do you toe the line of being Jackson, who, you know, didn't necessarily do that last year, and also improving on that element of the game? Where is that line at?
You know, I just feel like I chased a lot of heaters. You know, I feel like I was on the heater, but then I would be so on the heater that I'd see one up and I'd go for it. You know, I did it yesterday, too, in our game.
Eye candy.
It's just like you see the heater and you're like, heater, heater, heater. Oh, there it is. And then it's a ball and you're still swinging. So, you know, for me, I got to start being more on the heater, but able to look middle. You know? I'm looking for the heater middle, not the heater. The heater in the middle. That's what I'm looking for. So getting back to that, that's the main goal. And that'll help me walk more, take more pitches, and have better at-bats.
I didn't want to ask anybody this, but I think I do want to ask you this. The way the season ended last year, bad taste for everybody involved. How did you handle it? How do you think this team has handled it? And will you use any of how it ended as motivation this season?
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody looks back and wants to, you know, change what happened. But I don't think anybody's looking back right now anymore. I think it's done. Okay. 2025 is a new year, and there's nothing we can do about 2024. No matter who won the World Series or who beat us in the playoffs, it's over with. You know, that's what happened that year. We can't think about it. If we start thinking about that, it's gonna bring us down a little bit. So everyone's moved past it. Nobody really talks about it at all anymore. It's time for 2025. We're ready to get going.
Jackson, I think we've hit you from all angles at least here today, man.
And he hit a double off of us every time.
Man, we appreciate you coming on, man. We are wishing nothing but great success in year two. We really enjoy watching not only you play, but how you conduct yourself, man. True professional in year number two already. Good luck the rest of the way. We'll see you down the line, brother.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate both of you.
Oh, we're back here in Peoria, Arizona.
sorry.
Both of us were taking a nap right there.
No, we weren't. We were schmoozing Luis Rockby. We were trying to...
We weren't schmoozing.
Schmoozing Luis Rise. Okay. Hope you enjoyed Jackson Merrill there. He's a young man far beyond his years, though.
Oh.
I mean, that's the thing you notice right away when you talk to this guy.
Yeah. Where was my maturity when I was 22 years old?
Well, let's just be honest. You're twice that age now, and you still haven't found it.
Good point, but when I was 22, Chris, there's a picture of me on my 22nd birthday drinking a beer. That's what I was doing on my 22nd birthday.
That's all you'd accomplished at that point in your life.
If we're comparing careers, I definitely had a great drinking career compared to Jackson Merrill's because, you know, he's playing professional baseball.
I like the road he's taken.
Me too.
A little bit better.
Me too.
Yeah, he's so good, and he says all the right things. You know, I am worried, like probably a lot of you out there are worried. You know, this thing that's called the sophomore jinx, and I know it's just sophomore slump, sophomore jinx. They're just words, but there's a reason, unfortunately, that phrase exists, and the reason is because a lot of guys who have great first years don't come back with the same success the second year. And unfortunately, there's a recent example of this, which is Corbin Carroll, who was unstoppable 2 years ago. Last year, in July, Corbin Carroll was hitting 197. Now, he did pick it up the second half of the season, but that was a major surprise to see Corbin Carroll struggling like that. I'm not saying
that. I really wonder how much.
But I don't know that it's going to happen to Jackson Merrill because he just seems different than all these young guys.
He does. He does. You just get a different feel, and I don't know if that's because we're just, you know, we love Jackson Merrill and we're biased and all that, but I wonder how much of Corbin Carroll's last year was because they went so deep and they went to the World Series in his...
The year before.
Yeah, the year before.
Right.
I mean, I've been reading things that teams that go to the playoffs every single year, it's... it's a whole bunch of extra games they're playing, and it does wear on guys.
Could be. Could be the reasoning. Could be that Corbin Carroll is just hitting in bad luck the first 2 months of last season. Corbin Carroll, everybody thought he's going to hit, 350 last year, steal 90 bases, and just
maybe
pick up.
Maybe we were a little too high on
pick
that.
Up right where he left off. And it doesn't always work that way. And I think the reason is, A, because teams scout you a little more, but B, they focus on you a little bit more. Jackson Merrill, as he said in that interview, has been batting third in spring training. He wants to keep batting third. He was batting there today. Against the Brewers, and that the number three hitter gets a lot more attention than the number nine hitter gets. Just do. That's just how baseball works. So he's going to have his work cut out for him to come back and be as dynamic as he was last year. But I would not put it past this guy.
I have a friend from Cincinnati who's a huge baseball fan. He loves Jackson Merrill, and he was like, "Are you scared of the sophomore slump?" And I'm like, "No." And he goes, "Why?" And I'm like, "Because when you meet the guy, you get it."
Yeah, he exudes not just confidence, but he exudes knowledge.
Knowledge, yes.
Yes, knowledge and confidence. So, good to catch it. That's the first time I've had a chance to actually meet him, sit down and talk with him. And like most people, I'm impressed.
Yeah, so, also very much taller than you would think he is.
Most athletes are.
I know.
Here's the thing. Most athletes are taller than you think. Most actors slash celebrities are much shorter than you
think. I've definitely heard that.
Yes, they look bigger on the screen, and then in real life, they're 5'6" or something. Tom Cruise is the example of that. That guy's like 5'8", 5'9".
Yeah, he's tiny.
Right, and on screen, they make him look like a superhero power. Mission Impossible
guy. When you're bankrolling your own movies, you can look as good as you want.
He does, yeah. Tom Cruise has that going for him, which is nice.
Dominic says, "I worry so little about Jackson having the sophomore slump. He'll be fine."
Yeah.
Dane says, 100% Scraby. He's different.
He is. I think you're right out there. I think you're all right. All right, 4 o'clock hour coming up next. Kind of catch up on what's going on. We're not having Chris versus the fans today. Take a day off for that. Let Scraby put together some more questions.
yeah, that's why we're skipping.
No, we're just
it's kind of true. I was like, "Chris, are we going to do Chris versus the fans today?"
Yeah, no, we're going to take the day off because we have so many interviews. And in this 4 o'clock hour, we have Gavin Sheets, and we have a Big Five. And then later, we got Ruben Niebla and Jake Cronenworth. So don't go anywhere. Gwen and Chris, just starting, just really underway, really a lot to go.
Not really.
No, really, halfway through. Yeah, right.